Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Visioneering Technologies Investor Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Dr. Stephen Snoddy, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and hello and happy new year to all of you. This is Stephen Snoddy, CEO of Visioneering Technologies, and I'm joined by Brian Lane, our CFO, and Tony Summer, our Senior VP of Sales and Marketing. And we welcome you to our quarterly investor call for the quarter ended December 30th, 2018, and for a recap of the 2018 full year. After our summary of the business, we'll open a line to answer your questions. And the usual reminder here, all dollar amounts we'll discuss today are U.S. dollars, and VTI's fiscal year is coincident with the calendar year. In case you're new to the VTI story, we sell contact lenses. Our flagship product is a daily disposable soft contact lens called Natural View Multifocal. Natural View Multifocal is a revolutionary and patented contact lens design targeted at two patient populations with high clinical needs, the first being people over the approximate age of 45 who have difficulty seeing things close to their faces, such as menus or phones or anything within arm's length. This condition is called presbyopia, and almost everyone over the age of 45 suffers from presbyopia. The other patient segment being prescribed the exact same lens as the presbyopic patients, the Natural View Multifocal, is composed of children who are nearsighted and getting progressively worse. This is a condition called pediatric myopia or myopia progression. These children can see things that are up close but have compromised distance vision, which can affect, of course, academic and athletic performance and other daily tasks. Myopia progression affects a third to a half of U.S. children, which is double what it was 30 years ago, and affects 80 to 90% of children in many Asian countries. We estimate the myopia progression market for soft lenses in China alone to be close to $11 billion U.S. dollars. Even Australia, which enjoys one of the lowest rates of myopia in the world, has seen a sharp uptick in the percentage of children who are nearsighted. Unfortunately for these kids, poor distance vision and new glasses every year are the small concerns. These children are exposed to a lifetime of significantly elevated risk for blindness and other serious ocular diseases. So minimizing the severity of nearsightedness they develop in childhood is, of course, very important. Natural View Multifocal has been shown to slow the worsening of nearsightedness in children by 97%, which is why our lenses are being adopted by practitioners and parents around the world. We know of no other product that has shown this level of impact in slowing the march of myopia in children. In addition to selling multifocal contact lenses, we also sell lenses called Natural View Spheres for the correction of uncomplicated distance vision in adults. It's worth reminding everyone that VTI's revenue represents sales to our distributors, and that our distributors then sell our products to practitioners who then sell the product to patients. So our sales force is targeted at the optometrist community, the actual practitioners. We are very excited to announce that in 2018, we more than tripled our revenue compared to 2017, with 2018 net revenue at $3.3 million, which represented 214% growth year over year. And shipments to eye care professionals in 2018 grew by 244% over 2017. In fourth quarter 18, a calendar quarter in which contact lens sales typically contract by 10 to 15% industry-wide compared to the third quarter due to the strength of the third quarter, we grew net revenue slightly over third quarter to $1,069,000 and turned in our second consecutive million-dollar-plus quarter. The very strong shipments to eye care professionals we saw in the third quarter were tough to top, though, with shipments in the fourth quarter slightly below those in the third quarter at $988,000. Gross cash outflows in the quarter were approximately $3.8 million, and cash receipts from customers were $1,045,000, which along with a small amount of interest income resulted in net cash used in operations of approximately $2.75 million, which was a 17% decrease compared to third quarter, primarily due to the reduction of inventory purchases. We ended the quarter with approximately $7.3 million in the bank, and investors should expect slightly increasing net cash outflows in the coming quarters due to our starting to purchase inventory again in the second quarter of 2019, offset partially by increase in cash receipts. Increases in staffing and G&A costs in the first quarter of 2019 are non-recurring and are primarily due to pay period timing and end-of-year reporting activities. We ended the fourth quarter with $7.3 million in cash and cash equivalents, which we expect to be sufficient to fund operations through September of this year. And, of course, we're already starting to work on making sure that we raise additional financing in whatever form that takes. Gross margins for the fourth quarter were 26% of net revenue and -3% for the year, impacted by an inventory write-down recorded in the second quarter related to a new product launch that replaced old products, and the write-down of excess inventory and some lens parameters that were purchased before we had good information on demand. We do not expect any similar write-downs in 2019, though gross margin will still be impacted by FIFO layering. VTI expects gross margins to increase throughout 2019 to 45% in the fourth quarter and 40% for the full year 2019. One of our goals is to provide as much visibility and transparency into the company as is practical. And due to fair criticisms that we've received from the investor community on the information that we've been providing, you'll notice in the 4C released yesterday that we have started providing guidance on simplified key financial metrics in order to provide as much transparency as possible into the near-term prospects of the company. Using the simplified metrics, namely the quarterly pace of adding new active accounts in the U.S. and the quarterly increase in average revenue per active account, we are forecasting 2019 domestic net revenue of $7 million plus or minus $500,000, and international contributions will be small in 2019, growing more rapidly in 2020. It should be noted, however, that we are a young and rapidly growing company, and it is often difficult for us to predict our trajectory with high accuracy. On the international front, following our launches in Australia, New Zealand, and Europe a couple of months ago, we will be placing a larger emphasis in Asia this year, expanding our European presence out of the Nordics into greater Europe, and likely launching in Canada. We mentioned in the second quarter that some Asia markets would be best addressed through strategic partnerships and that early discussions were underway. And those discussions have continued to progress, broaden, and deepen. In summary, obviously, we haven't grown as revenue as fast as we thought would be possible when we first set out on this journey. Practitioner habits are hard to change, and we've had to put more effort into educating practitioners than we thought we would. But tripling revenue year over year to $3.3 million is very strong growth. The business is growing at a healthy pace. We've reduced risk in a company by showing there is strong demand for our products. We've demonstrated the feasibility of reaching profitability. The data in children shaped up very well in 2018, and pediatric myopia has emerged front and center in the minds of industry and government leaders. For these reasons, we are really excited about our future. And we can open up the line for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Mark Pachaz with BioShares. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi, Stephen. Nice to hear from you. This is a question for Tony, given he's on the line. Tony, just wondering if you could just run through some of your sales experiences there with selling that NaturalView product and what the drivers are, whether the drivers are the ease of fitting or whether it's the myopia, slowing the myopia progression.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Yeah, just wanted to know, if just from Tony's experience, what the drivers are from selling the NaturVue product, whether the drivers are the slowing of myopia progression, or just the ease of fitting of the multifocal lens.
Well, thank you for that. I think the drivers do vary by market, but as Stephen mentioned, myopia progression control is becoming a very, very hot topic within the optometric community worldwide. In fact, we're, dialing in from an international conference on that in Las Vegas, Nevada, in the United States. So there are many drivers that go into it. The most exciting piece of it is slowing control, but we've also had great success with its use as a presbyopic lens. It is truly outstanding, innovative, unique, and has excellent patient outcomes.
Okay. You still there?
Yes.
Given the...
we're here. Mark.
Sure. With Stephen saying the sales were slower than originally expected, what are some of the challenges that you're coming across there?
I think a key challenge is, as Stephen mentioned, educating the practitioners on the use of the lens. So the lens itself is an innovative and highly differentiated technology. It, in and of itself, is not a difficult device to fit on patients. However, the vast majority of lenses, presbyopic lenses, multifocal lenses, are of a totally different technology class known as center-near contact lenses. We are a center-distance contact lens. And when you do the fitting as a practitioner, you basically have to adopt not difficult but slightly different fitting behaviors just because of the technology. That in and of itself, changing a habit and muscle memory is one of the biggest issues that we've faced. So we spend a greater deal of time continuously refreshing the fitting protocol and the muscle memory and technique with our practitioners. When it is fit correctly, it has outstanding results and rapid adoption. But it is getting over that education hurdle.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks, Tony.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Elyse Shapiro from Wilsons. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Congrats on a great quarter.
Thanks, Elyse.
Quick questions. So what are the major key drivers for sales growth aside from the international launches? Is the sales force growing, or do you have any publications? More like market drivers, right? Like, do you have any publications coming out, or, are you presenting at any key ophthalmology meetings? Just something to kind of get that uptake to the levels that you wanted the sales at.
Yeah, so I think it's important to remember that we're still in the process of maturing the sales reps. So we have 25 sales reps, and they're still, to some extent, out there laying down their new fit sets. They're still activating accounts. So we still have quite a bit of sales growth to come just from the sales reps maturing their accounts. With regard to news that will increase awareness and drive sales, of course, we'll be expanding in Europe outside of the Nordics this year, so increasing accounts there. That'll be, I think, big news once we've selected countries and entered those countries. And from the technical clinical side, as Tony mentioned, we are at a conference right now that is focused on myopia control, and we will be presenting, or some practitioners will be presenting, additional data on our lenses over the weekend. And that'll be news that is put into optometrists' hands by next week. And after that, probably won't see too much early in the year, mid-year, later in the year, probably start seeing updates again, updating the data on children. But, you know, we maintain a pretty active presence at most of the optometry conferences. So, you know, we'll always have something that we're talking about.
Great. And then you mentioned a new product that was kind of the cause of part of the inventory write-down. Can you talk about the differences between the old and new product?
Sure. So we launched a new version of our sphere lenses mid-year around June. Responding to the lenses that we were using were really made for the Asian market. They were a little different fitting from the fitting preference here in the United States. And so we made changes to the edge of the lenses, and we included a lubricant into the packaging solution to make the lenses more comfortable. So that was the new product that we launched on Sphere. We also expanded the parameters of the multifocal lens to include what we call plus powers, which are for farsighted people, and launched that right around the same time. But the main part of the launch was, you know, at that time, was for the enhanced sphere, what we call the enhanced sphere.
And did you have any pushback from your purchasers or your customers when you made that change? Like, are they still able to sell the old lenses?
No, it is a very welcomed change. We did run a clinical trial before we launched that product. We started field testing it with practitioners. It was a very well-received and continues to be a very well-received change.
Okay. Got it. Great. Well, thanks. Look forward to seeing some more sales growth.
Okay. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Matthias Smith from Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good morning, Matthias.
Yes, it is a glorious morning. It's only 38 degrees at 9 o'clock in the morning right now, so we're having fun over here.
Wow. Oh, boy.
I just want to ask a few questions. I've got three questions in particular. Previously, you've provided data on the account maturation, namely how many accounts were over $2,000, how many accounts were over $5,000. Are you able to update that, or will you be updating that on your roadshow?
We'll consider it. You know, we've been trying to find the metrics that make the most people happy and that people understand and from which people can build their own modeling without making too many assumptions. And, of course, it's not possible to make all the people happy all the time, but we think the metrics that we've provided now, you know, in the 4C are about the right balance. And so we'll consider the funnel information that we provided before, but that wasn't particularly well received by the community. I don't think as many people found that as useful as they find the current information that we're using. But we'll give it some thought, Matty.
Okay. My reason for raising that is you know, with the capital constraints, there's a very correct and considered change in strategy to lower the focus on bringing on new accounts and increase the focus on getting more sales out of existing accounts. And I guess that was the easiest metric to track how that was going. That was why I was sort of hoping to see that number.
Yeah, that's a good comment. We'll give it some thought.
Yep. Second question, which is on the new way that you've the new metrics you're putting forward. Clearly, you know, the guidance is just a piece of arithmetic using the number of new accounts and average growth per account. I guess I just wanted to dig a little deeper into the projected average revenue growth per account of $65 to $95 per quarter. Is that based on what you've seen over the last 12 months, or is it what you think is a reasonable expectation? And I guess the background for that is if you back out numbers of, you know, lenses providing around 60 cents of revenue per lens for the company, $65 to $95 per quarter per account equates to one new customer purchasing another 3 months supply each month, which given how effective these lands is, seems pretty low, but maybe that's just what it is, and I'd just be interested in your comments for how you ended up using that as the number to do your forward projection.
Yeah, so the number is based on actual 2018 numbers, and you know that was the starting place for that. And as Tony briefly mentioned, we are improving our targeting, improving our marketing, improving our education, so we do expect those numbers to move upwards. But agree, you know, it does look a little bit slow. And we, you know, addressed that in the commentary that it's lower than we thought it would be for the reasons that we articulated. But it, you know, that those numbers are based on actual experience in 2018, which makes it a pretty good starting point. Brian, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you nailed it, Stephen. We looked pretty closely at what those numbers were. We looked at it by quarter. We are seeing that the sales cohorts are you know, each of the three groups that we hired are moving up in the right direction. Part of it is, you know, as new accounts come on, they're not growing as quickly as some of the larger accounts because what Tony said, where it takes a little longer for the professional to learn how to fit the lens. So we're obviously hoping for growth that's greater than what we've put here. And if we're seeing it, we'll obviously disclose that. But we decided to be conservative with this view and say what we're experiencing in 2018 and expecting that would continue into 2019.
Okay. No, that makes complete sense. And if that's the historical rate, it is what it is. And I think that's the best basis for our projections. The final thing, and this is more just local curiosity. You launched into the Australian market. I think, you know, during the course of the year, there were a couple of optometrists who were highlighted as using the lenses. How's this gone in terms of uptake? Do we have, you know, half a dozen or a dozen optometrists in Australia using the lenses yet, or is it still very early days?
Before I hand it over to Tony, just want to point out that the way that we launched into Australia was with just a couple of optometrists who got started early, and we really didn't, you know, get the distributor signed up, get them stocked up, get the fit set starting you out till very late in the quarter. So the launch into Australia is just now occurring. But maybe Tony can give some more anecdotal commentary around that.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that, and that's a great question, Maddie. The Australian launch is very much in its infancy, and when you think about any market entry and the stages of development, I think Stephen hit it spot on, where we had a very limited entry to ensure the infrastructure worked, and then we had lined up our distributor partner to again provide infrastructure, and we've just now started to see uptake and placement of fit sets and activation of accounts throughout ANZ. You are beginning to see in the commencement of this quarter some of our early marketing within ANZ, and that commenced last week and is ongoing. And we will continue to have launch activities, both marketing and sales, throughout the first half of this year. We're very excited. We're seeing great uptake. There's a lot of excitement amongst the eye care practitioner community, as well as our distributor partner is very pleased with the line.
Okay, that's good to hear. And you know, my reason for the comment is most of the people I know are blind as bats, and there's certainly a lot of enthusiasm for trialing these lenses amongst people I speak to when I mention it. So it's a small market, but I can assure you the people I speak to, there's a bit of appetite out there. So it'd be great if we can get them in the lenses and maybe turn them into shareholders. Who knows?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Or get their children's vision healthy and turn them into shareholders as well.
Yeah, children probably won't be the shareholders, but...
Well, I think that concludes the question and answer section. And again, appreciate everybody's attention, your commitment to BTI, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the market. Thanks so much.